perfect. Well, thank you. This is Sharon Pope. And for those of you who I haven't had the pleasure to meet yet, I am a life coach, author, speaker, and radio host of the show Tell the Truth with Sharon Pope. It's on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday night. And I would like to welcome you to this free 60-minute teaching call, The Compassionate Breakup, Finding Your Courage, Healing Your Heart, and Living in Love. So thank you, thank you, thank you again for being here with me this evening and for sharing your light with me. I am always grateful for the hearts that come together for these kind of deep, meaningful, soulful conversations, and I don't take any of you for granted. So if you are on this call, you are probably someone who's either going through or healing from a breakup now, or potentially there's even some of you that are considering a breakup and you're just not sure how to move forward without causing and or going through a great deal of pain. Breakups are notoriously painful and destructive for everyone that's involved. And as much as we would like, none of us really get out of it unscathed. But I do believe that there is a way to find peace, even in the midst of something as scary as a breakup. And what if there's a way to honor our own voice and needs and minimize the collateral damage in the process? What if there's a way to release all the anger and frustration in an effort to demonstrate compassion first towards yourself and then towards your partner? So my intention for the next hour is to light that path for you and introduce you to the principles of the compassionate breakup. My purpose for the evening is to give you hope that you can think about your breakup in a new way. And that is a way that is loving and powerful and compassionate and absolutely possible. So if you'll indulge me for a second, I first want to share with you a little bit about me and my story, because I think it's important for you to know how I got to this point in my life. So I had the nice, handsome, stable husband, and we lived in a four-bedroom home in a suburban golf community. We had nice cars and took vacations. I had a wide circle of friends, and we both had loving families. I had a good corporate job with a pension plan, if you can imagine, and a 401k. And we had one dog and no children. I had no reason to be unhappy, but I was. I was unhappy and really lonely in my marriage. I met my husband when we were both in graduate school. I was 24 years old, and I knew that he wouldn't lie, cheat, or leave me, as some of my past boyfriends had done at that early age. But what I didn't know then, at that very young, tender age, that I do know now, is that there is very little passion in taking the safe approach with our lives. So you see, my husband and I, we had love for one another, but we were never lovers, if you know what I'm saying there. So we didn't cuddle, caress, or lose time together. We never awoke in each other's arms, not once in the 11 years that we were together. And we rarely had the deep, meaningful conversations that I think you should have. And the reality is that he didn't require me to share too much of my soul with him. So I could stay safe and hidden, but that didn't mean that I was in love. I had become exceptional at leading everyone around me to believe that I had it all together all the time. I had all the things that I was supposed to have. I did all the things I was supposed to do. And my life, from anyone else's perspective, probably looked pretty good. But I was dying inside and suppressing my needs. Giving a voice to my desires at that time seemed selfish. So I hid. And in doing so, I created a distance between myself and everybody else. I hid behind this enormous wall that was nearly impossible for anyone to scale. Not my friends, not my family, and not my husband. No one knew how lonely I was. And eventually, putting on this never-ending act, this song and dance, was just exhausting for me. So after 11 years of marriage, I separated from my husband and continued to try to outrun my loneliness. You see, I wasn't running from the man that I married, but I was running from the lonely and distant life that I had created. So I felt simultaneously both incredible guilt about my marriage and unbelievable freedom at the same time. So it was this very confusing and unsettled place for me. It was during that time that I began what I call as this period of my life of playing with fire. And I met someone named Michael through some mutual friends. Michael was tall, broad-shouldered, very muscular, and devilishly handsome. His confidence and charm, I would say, commanded attention in a way that I hadn't experienced before. And it didn't take long for us to establish a connection and become caught in this tornado vortex of intense feelings and emotions, quickly falling for one another. And I just handed him, I gave him everything. I gave him my heart, my mind, my soul, something that I had never done before with anyone ever. And I just handed over the keys to the kingdom. See, I'd finally come out from behind that wall and allowed someone to really see me, all of my joy and all of my pain, as well as all of my love and all of my insecurities. And I had never allowed anyone that far into my heart before. And he was like oxygen for me during a time when I was on life support. But playing with fire is a very predictable activity. And not surprisingly, I got burned. So soon after telling me that he loved me, Michael began pulling away, seeing other women and making me feel suddenly very unimportant in his very big life. He later told me that he loved me, but he wasn't in love with me. And although those are harsh words to hear, that was, in fact, the truth. And that breakup sent me spiraling. He had awakened feelings in me that I had never felt before. And I was terrified that without him, I would never feel them again. And I was afraid of going back to that numb existence I felt when I was in my marriage. So I was heartbroken. And there were times, for some reason it was many times on Sundays, that I could hardly pull myself off the couch. I dropped probably 25 pounds. I was on both antidepressants and sleeping pills and went out and drank almost every night just to numb myself and avoid going home to face the truth of my life. I think I shed more tears in the months that followed that breakup than I had my entire life. So I continued trying to find a man that could fill that emptiness that I felt in my heart. I kept thinking that someone could rescue me from these feelings. And I thought that finding someone to love and that could love me back, of course, was that answer. I probably don't have to tell you that my little plan was not working. So I think there's a big difference in love between effort and force. There's nothing wrong with making an effort in a relationship. You have to make an effort in a relationship. But when it feels more like force than it does effort, something's very wrong. So I stopped. and I got still. I forced myself to get comfortable with being alone. And I started journaling to make sense of what was happening in my life. And during that time, I kept coming across all these other women that were having these similar experiences as I was. So my journaling eventually became a memoir and self-help book called Life Love, Lies and Lessons. So those experiences that I just shared with you were by far the most difficult period of my life. But they were also the catalyst for the most profound change and growth that I've ever had in my life. And so I finally stopped running and hiding, and I spent the next 2 years asking and answering the difficult questions of my life. See, I didn't set out to deliberately cause pain to another human being, but there was no denying that I had hurt my ex-husband when I left. I didn't wish him harm. And in fact, I got to a place where I truly hoped that he could find someone that could love him and adore him in a way that I could not. And I'm going to answer the question for you just because people always ask me. I'm happy to report that yes, he has. He's getting married again next year, and I am thrilled for him. I think everyone deserves abundance and love, at least almost everyone. I do. You do. My ex-husband does. My ex-boyfriends do. Almost everyone does. I also didn't set out to get my heart broken. But in fact, I did. And here's what I learned, that when your heart is broken, there's an opening. There's this small space for the light to get through. And as long as we don't put a lid on it, that light is a really important opening in your life. And that light led me to truth and beauty and compassion and freedom and deep self-love and respect. See, we were created by love, and we were created for love. And trying to deny it just doesn't work for very long. So relationships break, and breakups create that small space. We can make the choice to shut down and not let that light in and sit there in our anger and pain and bitterness, stuck in our story of all the ways that he did us wrong, or we can turn our face towards that light. And so that's what I'm going to ask you to do with me this evening, is just find the courage to acknowledge the light that's trying to get through in you. Whether you're in the midst of a breakup right now, trying to heal from a breakup, or even considering leaving a relationship in order to honor your own heart, know that that light is just as available to you as the dark. And they're both incredibly powerful, and you get to choose. So before we start this evening, I'd like to just get us grounded with a really short blessing. If you'll take a deep breath with me. Thank you for bringing this glorious group of hearts together for a shared truth. We trust that we have all that we need as we open to the process of a new experience and a new way of being. Let's get started. I always begin all of my blog posts and my radio shows with a quote. I love quotes. So I'd like to do that today as well. And this one actually is from an unknown author. I don't know who wrote it, but I love it. I use it quite a lot. It says, perhaps strength doesn't reside in never having been broken, but in the courage to grow strong in the broken places. So this class tonight was designed for you if you're experiencing a breakup and you're not sure what to do next. If you're experiencing profound sadness after the loss of a relationship, if you've ever said the words, I don't know how to do this on my own, if you're feeling stuck or numb or lonely in your current relationship, if you're considering leaving, And if the thought of leaving is just as frightening as the thought of staying. So after today's class, you will see that when seen through the eyes of compassion, breakups can be both painful and powerful. They can be both scary and courageous, and they can be both tender and transformative for your life. So today we're going to cover the five most powerful questions that you can ask yourself in the midst of a breakup. We're going to cover how holding on to anger and frustration will actually prevent you from getting what you really want. We're going to talk about how to honor your own heart and your own needs without causing unnecessary drama and pain. We're going to identify what's keeping us stuck or numb and understanding how to break free, and how being compassionate to yourself can actually lead to the miracle of a compassionate breakup. So I'm going to teach you as much as I can in the 60 minutes that we have together, but I promise at the end of this call, I will show you how you can find out more information if you'd like to take it further for yourself. I will answer questions at the end. I did that the first time I ran this, and I had people sticking around for a long time after the call. So please hold your questions until the end when I can turn off the recording so that this can be a completely private space and judgment-free space for you. And I'm going to give you as much helpful information as possible during the short time that we have together. So let's get started. As a truth-telling life coach, I have women and an occasional few brave men reach out to me sharing their stories. Because every time I tell my story, people come out of the woodwork and they say, my story is your story. And I'm not even sure if I want to be married anymore. Or my partner of 22 years left me for another woman and I can't stop crying. Or I broke up with my boyfriend of 9 years and now I'm trying to figure out who I am outside of this relationship. I've had a couple people say to me in different ways, but very clearly, I've subjugated my needs and feelings for so long that I don't even know who I am or what I want. Or they'll say, my husband doesn't acknowledge me. He puts me down all the time, and we've been sleeping in separate bedrooms for more than a year. I want you to know that this is a completely judgment-free zone. Whatever it is you're experiencing, you're not alone. I talked to hundreds of women with all some very, very similar stories, so I want you to know that you are not alone. And I've either done it myself or I've helped other women in a similar situation. I just have a deep admiration for the perfection of each of our journeys and am able to provide some light in what can traditionally be a pretty dark place. See, compassion and breakup are not usually used in the same sentence together. I mean, you know, think about it. How often do you hear about a breakup of a relationship between two people that isn't filled with angst, pain, hatred, and fear? I mean, it's happened, of course. You hear about the couples that from time to time they've managed to do it, particularly when there's children involved. But it's certainly the exception rather than the rule. And that's because we're not taught how to do this in a healthy way. And not just for the benefit of our children, although that's an incredibly important piece and certainly a great motivator, but for ourselves and for our own peace. Two things that don't rank very high at the top of our to-do list on any given day. But some relationships break and they can't be saved. But I believe that if we're able to ask ourselves five simple but powerful questions, we can change the course of what would otherwise be an incredibly painful and damaging experience. So if you have not gotten a pen and paper yet, now would be a great time to do that. because we're going to jump into these questions. And some of these take some time and some thought for you to really think through about what it means for you. So I want you to be able to reflect on them later. So question number one, we're going to start with the big one. Where and when did I abandon myself? Emotionally, physically, spiritually, where did you neglect or abandon yourself? Did you try to make someone else responsible for your own happiness? Were you looking to someone to love you enough that you might learn to love yourself? Did you consistently put your needs and dreams aside in order to support him, his goals, his dreams, because that's what was important to you? Was it more important to be what everybody else expected you to be than to let your true heart come out and be really seen, even though it's messy and imperfect? Was it more important to do that song and dance like I did in my marriage? Did you allow other voices to drown out your own? Did you put everybody else's needs before your own so that there's nothing left in a tank at the end of the day for you or for very likely your relationship? Did you start to attempt to control others to avoid answering the difficult questions of your life? Did you even for a moment believe that you weren't somehow worthy of real, honest, and transformative love? I want you to just take a moment to reflect on what of those pieces rings true for you. Knowing that you're not alone and there's no judgment, because we have all abandoned ourselves from time to time. But the beauty and the breakthrough occurs when we can begin to tell the truth about it. So where and when did you abandon yourself? That's the first question. The second question is, how can I show love and grace to myself today? See, the one person that's always been there and isn't going anywhere is you. You can't outrun her, and she will never leave you. So it's important that during this time, in the midst of, or even when you're considering a breakup, that you practice what I call radical self-care. Every day, asking yourself the important question of, how can I show love and grace to myself today? How can I play more, smile more, laugh more, be more myself? How can I find 10 minutes of me in my day? How can I cultivate joy or be kind to someone else? Where can I find stillness, even if it's only for a few minutes? Will I allow myself to breathe deeply? How can I show up more fully in my own life today? For myself, not for anyone else. And what is my body telling me it needs right now? This is a time where it's really important to get out of your head and into your heart and your body. Is your body telling you it needs sleep? Does it need movement? Does it need whole, clean food, fresh air? What is your body telling you? Because honoring what your body is telling you is a way of showing grace to yourself and love to yourself. The love and grace for yourself isn't numbing out by watching too much reality TV or getting lost in Facebook. It's just not. it's not being with toxic people that keep you stuck in your story. It's just sometimes the simple indulgence of wrapping yourself up in a warm blanket of compassion. It's not judging the feelings that arise, but just noticing them, allowing them to be as they are in the moment, knowing that that too will change. So often we get so caught up in the pain and we sit there in it and we wallow in it. And then we start judging ourselves like, I'm so stupid for feeling this way. I should be stronger than this. I'm a strong, powerful woman. How come I've let this bring me down? And then there comes the self-judgment, and so it doesn't help. So in any given moment, and I think this week is particularly appropriate, is just to ask yourself, what feels most like love? What can I do in this moment, on this day, to show myself some love and grace? Because until we start doing it for ourselves, nobody else is going to show us that. We're always teaching people how to treat us, so we have to show that to ourselves first. So the second question is, how can I show love and grace to myself today? Question number three. What do I need to give myself permission to do? So again, if you have not already gotten a piece of paper and a pen, get one now. I want you to draw some rectangular boxes, just small rectangular boxes, on your piece of paper. Maybe 8 or 10 of them. Those are your permission slips. What do you need to give yourself permission to do? Do you need to give yourself permission to practice? What I'm talking about is radical self-care. Do you need to give yourself permission to allow love in again? To trust the energy of love again in your life? Do you need to give yourself permission to stop grasping and controlling, letting people and things just be as they are without trying to change them, including yourself and your own feelings? Do you need to just give yourself permission to have a bad day occasionally, to feel what you need to feel and to grieve what needs to be grieved, to release what is no longer yours or what no longer serves you? So during that 2-year period for me, some of the permission slips I had to give to myself during that difficult time was to be at home alone by myself, even though I was really uncomfortable. I gave myself permission to stop forcing what wasn't occurring naturally and organically, that difference between effort versus force. To stop judging myself and everybody else. Permission to remove that mask of perfection and allow others to really see me, my messy, imperfect self. Permission to stop comparing myself and my situation to others. Permission to ask for what I need. Permission to treat my heart with the care and respect it deserves, and not just giving it away to anyone who's broken enough to take it. Permission to stop trying to change people. Permission to show up authentically each day as best I can. And permission to breathe. I would ask you, what are the things that you need to give yourself permission to do during this time? It's a way of showing compassion to yourself. And because we are all just energies, you know how I promised that you would see your breakup in a more compassionate way? It's once we start treating ourselves with compassion that the other person very likely will pick up on that energy. And they'll mirror that. Can't promise that. Some people will harbor resentment. But for I, you know, everyone who's on this call, I view you as my client. So I'm about your healing and your peace, not necessarily your exes. All right. So question four. Another big one. Another one that we resist sometimes. And it's, who do I need to forgive? Yeah. I know, you're wanting to run, aren't you? Let me tell you what forgiveness is not. It's not agreeing or excusing bad behavior. It absolutely is not a sign of weakness. And it also does not obligate you to stay in a relationship with that person just because you've forgiven them. Forgiveness is, it's about releasing the resentments and the negative energy that's associated with the thoughts and beliefs about what happened, about the breakup, about that experience. It is a choice, it is a practice, and it is a gift that you give to yourself. It's not for them. It's not about them. And we find it difficult to forgive because we believe that on some level, right, on some level, if we stay broken and pissed off, that we're somehow impacting that other person. And intellectually, you would all say with me, that's not true. We know that intellectually, but it doesn't mean that it's easy to put into practice. That all the things that are really worthwhile for us are not always easy. But here's the reason, because you've heard all that before. That is not new. Here's what's new. The reason why it's important for you to forgive is because if you stay in a place where you're holding on to resentments and this unforgiving negative energy, you're actually going to continue to attract that into your life. That exact experience that you don't want to ever feel again will show up like a magnet in your life if you don't release it. So first and foremost, forgive yourself. You played some role in this, even if it's 10%. And the other 90% belongs to him. 10% is yours. When you can fully own that 10% is when you can be free. So get really honest with yourself about how you assisted in creating the experiences that you've had in love. Not honoring your needs, maybe accepting or accommodating what you shouldn't have. Maybe you did the preemptive strike of, I'm going to reject you before you reject me. Training others that my feelings don't matter. Maybe playing small or dimming your own light so that no one can really truly see who you are. Maybe you were overgiving in an effort to attempt to prove your value or auditioning. Auditioning is the role for their wife rather than just showing up authentically. This brings to mind, I told you I love quotes. I told you that at the beginning. And this is the only quote I've ever heard from Jane Fonda that I want to quote, but she says, we're not meant to be perfect. We're meant to be whole. To forgive yourself. And the forgiving of yourself, this isn't something that usually happens just once. So make it a daily practice to forgive yourself. Some days it may just be forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know. But now you know a different truth. And so here's where the breakthrough is. Once you know that different truth, you have the opportunity to create a different experience. Okay. The next one is forgive the person that you were or are in a relationship with. So they weren't what you needed. So they made mistakes. They let you down. So they were dishonest with themselves or you. I know. But they did what they knew how to do based upon where they're at on their journey. I want you to think about that for a second. They did the best they could at that time based upon what they knew at that time. People will say, but he lied, he cheated, he left. And yes, but that's where he's at. He's not at a place in his own evolution to do anything else. And if he's doing that, he's likely still in a broken place himself, because I believe that only hurting people intentionally hurt other people. But that's his journey. Or if there are some brave men on the line, that's her journey. That's the other person's journey. It's not yours. You can't take that journey for them. You have your own journey, your own path to follow. And honestly, on any given day, that's enough to deal with. And that other person, he will evolve beyond that place, or he won't. But his growth and evolution is not something that you can change or control. And when you release that is when you're free. And lastly, I will say, forgive everyone else. Forgive the other woman, because you and I both know it's not about her. Forgive the friends who felt they had to choose sides and maybe didn't choose you. Forgive the family members who judged you. I mean, who really are we to decide what's right and wrong, good and bad? Because it's all seen through our lens and our experience. Every single person just sees through their own lens and their own experience. And just like your ex, they also each have their own journey. You may be more spiritually evolved and emotionally mature, further on your path, potentially, as a result of your experiences. But if it's the day that you can just forgive them all and bless them in their journey, I promise you that you will find a kind of peaceful freedom that you have never known before. And the important piece, go back to the beginning, the important piece about forgiveness is it releases you. And it stops attracting exactly the experience that you don't want. So it's when you release that negative energy that you're going to be able to create a different experience for yourself. So question number 4 is, who do you need to forgive? And don't forget about yourself. Okay. Question number 5, last question. What am I to learn? See, just because we don't understand something right at this particular moment doesn't mean that it has no meaning. I think we are all teachers for one another. And that person was or is in your life to teach you something that you're supposed to learn, just as you are for them, by the way. See, not everyone has to be a jerk or a loser or a prince. Maybe he was placed in your life because he was the only one that could show you or to bring you that lesson to light for you. Or maybe he was an energy that needed something from you. When we can stand back and ask the courageous questions, what did I learn through that relationship? What did I learn from that love? What did I learn about myself? That's when we can finally move forward in our journey. Because if we don't learn what it is that we're supposed to learn, it's just going to keep being presented to us again and again, through different men in different forms, in different wrappers. I call it, he's just going to keep showing up in a different pair of pants until we learn the lesson we won't be able to move on. And if you don't learn the lesson, you're going to carry that baggage right into the next relationship and the next one after that and the next one after that. And so it will go. And we'll create the story that all I ever attract are fill in the blank. When the truth is that we just haven't learned the lesson that we're supposed to learn from these people, these teachers that keep coming into our lives. You know when you blow up a beach ball and you're in the pool with it and you try holding the beach ball underwater for a while? What always happens? That it comes popping up, usually at some of the most inopportune times. So that's why it's really important to figure out, what did I learn? Because it's just going to keep popping up. So here's just an ounce of what I learned. I mean, I told you I wrote a book. So here's an ounce of what I learned on my own journey that I wanted to share with you. Because maybe you can relate to it for yourself. When I am completely comfortable in my own skin, curves and all, flaws and all, I know I'm pretty fabulous. I learned that the feelings that Michael awakened in me weren't dependent on him. Those were mine. And if they were mine, I could feel them again. I learned that I don't have to have all the answers to have all the clarity that I need in my life. And I learned that my love is big and precious and powerful. And as long as I felt unworthy, I was going to continue to attract men that weren't worthy of that kind of love. So ask yourself the question, question number 5, what did I learn? And what did I learn about myself? It might take some time to get those answers, but it's absolutely worth it. Now I want to share with you a story of one of my clients. And I've changed her name because I never share information where someone could know who it is. But I have a client who I'll call Amy. And Amy was married for 14 years, and she has 2 children. And she became incredibly disconnected from her workaholic husband. And she spent most of her days divided between work, running the kids everywhere they needed to go, and taking care of everything around the home. And her husband snored loudly, and Amy wasn't sleeping well. So for that very pragmatic reason, he started sleeping in the guest bedroom, which made the distance between them even greater. She felt like she was running on empty, and she was disconnected and incredibly lonely. So not surprisingly, that made her vulnerable to finding herself in the arms of someone else, anyone else, that would be willing to see her, to really see her. She had an affair for 6 months and fell deeply in love with a man that was much younger than she was. She finally felt alive. She told me her life used to be in black and white, and now it's in full color and 3D. And she knew it was wrong, but she couldn't pull herself away from him. He ended up breaking her heart. And as we looked back on that relationship, it wasn't a good or healthy relationship, although she couldn't see that at the time that she was in it, because he was emotionally abusive and really played with her feelings. Her husband found out and was understandably hurt. And he was mad, and he became distrusting and even more distant. So Amy called me when she was ready to move on and release her marriage, but she didn't know how to do this without hurting her children and how to do it alone. And so that's where I came in. And Amy was courageous enough to do the work, to ask herself these hard questions, not just once, but as a practice in her life. And we worked together for 3 months, and I took her through my 3-step coaching program. Her divorce is now nearly final. Her children have adjusted. She and her ex-husband are able to speak about things concerning the kids without bringing their personal pain into the conversation. And I believe that's because Amy set the tone and example for doing so. She's single, and she's working on loving herself before she just jumps into the water with anybody else. She had to mourn the loss of a 14-year marriage, as well as the death of an intense and passionate relationship that served as an escape and an awakening for her. She's not in a relationship yet, but I believe that when she is, it will be with someone that can love fully and completely, and she'll be able to trust her own judgment, honoring her own heart, without being subjected to emotional abuse, because she's no longer running on empty. She's no longer searching. And most importantly, she's no longer feeling unimportant, unworthy, or abandoned. She's found love and compassion in her life because it stares back at her in the mirror every morning. And I don't know if anyone is, you know, proud of a breakup. But if asked, I think Amy would tell you that you can get through it and at least be proud of the way that you were able to handle it. See, there really is a way to have a compassionate breakup. There really is a way through the fire that is both self-loving and self-restoring. There really is a way to heal your heart and live in love. There's a way to get through it and come out better, stronger, and more evolved so that your next relationship is a different experience when you feel like you're ready for that. So I'm going to share with you the 3 steps of my coaching program so that you can take it further for yourself, whether you do it alone or you do it with me. Because I know from personal experience that there's nothing that will bring you to your knees quicker than love, and love lost is the reason that I created the Your Love Life Transformed coaching program. This is a 3-month one-on-one engagement with me that includes 10 weekly private coaching sessions, 1 VIP day, and me on speed dial for the 3 months that we work together, plus the 3 months following. So through this free teleconference that you've been listening to tonight, you have essentially received the first session of my coaching, the Your Love Life Transformed package. And it helps you uncover the real cause of the breakup and the beliefs and stories that keep you stuck in the pain. So step one of this 3-step program is where we take that first step together, and it's dedicated to getting this clear understanding of what brought you to this point to help create a foundation for the transformation to occur in your love life. So this is the place where you start getting really honest with yourself. If you're doing this on your own without a coach, start telling the truth, at least to yourself, if not to anybody else. If you're working with me, you'll learn some simple but profound tools that will give you more peace in your life and guide your decisions so that you can, in fact, trust yourself again. And it's typically once you start telling the truth and in these first sessions together where we begin to see the underlying and unconscious beliefs you've been carrying that have been unintentionally sabotaging your efforts at love. Awareness is a beautiful thing. Step two is what I call healing the heart. So it is in this second step where the transformation really begins to take root through some soulful truth-telling. This is where being able to genuinely see the patterns in our relationships and what's our role in the process And so many times it's in this phase that we're able to see how we've actually been unintentionally manifesting the exact experience that we don't want for ourselves. So it starts with the pattern. What's been your pattern in love? See, when it comes to relationships, I think it's so easy to make assumptions about other people's motives and judgments about ourselves. But this is where we get to the bottom of those thoughts and beliefs that we've been carrying around so that they can all ultimately just be released. And it's once we just clear away that clutter in our lives, in our beliefs, and around our hearts that we can clear a path for real transformative love to come through. And step three is live in love. And now that the path is cleared, now we can, when you're ready, attract, receive, and sustain a lasting, loving relationship that we all deserve. So we're going to create the vision for what you want in a life partner. And rather than trying to force it and make love happen, you're going to learn how to attract the kind of love that you desire for your life and recognize it when it shows up. So by this point in the coaching program, you would have cultivated a deep sense of self-love that's part of the core of who you are, and people will actually start to experience you differently. So this is where you start making commitments to yourself, again, whether you're working with me or doing it on your own. But it's what are the commitments that you're going to make to yourself in order to create that different experience so that you can find and sustain the deep, soulful, lasting love that you desire and deserve. So if you would like the opportunity to dig deeper into these questions and find your courage so that you can finally heal your heart and live in love, whether it's in a relationship or out of a relationship. I've opened my calendar for the next 6 days to a limited number of free, I call these truth and clarity sessions that I'm making available to you. So these truth and clarity sessions is essentially a free 30-minute call where I'm going to help you get really clear about what's keeping you from having the life or love life that you desire for yourself. And if there's a fit, then I'll invite you to be a part of my coaching program. And if not, then I'm glad to share any other resources that I have. So to set up one of these sessions for yourself, you can, if you're really anxious, you can go to my website at SharonPopeTruth.com. And on the homepage in the upper right corner, you're going to see a button that says schedule your free 30-minute truth and clarity session. You can do that now. You'll see my calendar online. You'll answer a few short questions, and you'll be able to pick a time that's convenient for you. You can also send me an email. My email is Sharon@SharonPopeTruth.com. Or you're going to receive an email from me at 9:30 tonight, and there will be a link in that email just to make it really easy for you. So in 30 minutes, you're going to get an email where you can set up one of those sessions for yourself. So before you get off the phone, I want to end the call by providing you with at least two additional inspirational tools for your life as a thank you for staying around to the end of the call. And the first one to me is a game changer. And it's just simple. It's say thank you. In the midst of a storm and during those times when you don't feel like there's very much to be grateful for, say thank you. When you're thinking to yourself, I don't know where this is headed, or I don't know what's next, just say thank you for the experience. Thank you for the lesson that is always meant for my good. Thank you for the support that I have around me. And thank you for this little space where the light can enter. Because in an instant, on any given day, you can change the trajectory of your journey just by stopping, taking a deep breath, and simply saying thank you. The second tool is my free ebook. It's called Relationships Break That Doesn't Make You Broken. This is a woman's guide to going from just simply surviving to thriving after a breakup. And that's also going to be in the email that you get in half an hour. There will be a link to that free ebook. So as a thank you for sharing your time and attention with me here today, I'm going to be sending you that free ebook in my follow-up email along with a link to this recording in case you want to listen again or you want to share it with others. So we were created by love, and we were created for love. We all deserve love, and trying to deny it for very long doesn't work. So relationships break, and breakups create that small space where the light can enter if we allow it. We can make the choice to shut down and not let that light in, sitting there in our anger and pain and bitterness, or we can turn our face towards that light. And my hope for you, with or without moving forward with me, is that you bask, absolutely bask in the warmth of that light. So if you have questions, feel free to email those to me at Sharon@SharonPopeTruth.com, and I will follow up with you within the next 24 hours. So I'll be taking a few questions now. So if you have something that you would like to ask, I'm going to put the Q&A call in session, and you'll just press *6. But for now, I'm going to turn off the recording, and then I'll open up the phone lines and take a few questions. So for those of you that need to hop and won't be able to stick around for the Q&A session, thank you for being here. And thank you again for sharing your light with me. I hope that you find your courage, heal your heart, and live in love. God bless.